I know I'm getting old, but just yesterday, Olivia's mother was her age. I was up here dancing before the Lord. Remember that?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. That was just yesterday, was that?
Yeah.
It wasn't yesterday? Oh. Yeah, okay. That's how fast the time goes. Well, we used to sing a song, and the first verse began, David danced before the Lord. He danced with all his might. And I don't know if you, how many of you remember it. It's been quite a few years ago. And the ark had been restored to Israel, and David was so happy and excited that he began to dance. And his wife, Michal, saw him. She looked through a window of the temple, of the
palace,
somewhere. And she saw him dancing, and she despised him in her heart. And she said to some around her, she said, he is humbling himself before the people. He's a king. And she was offended. And you know what the Bible says? That she never had a child because of that. She was barren the rest of her life. And anyway, we used to see a lot of dancing in this church until we got older. And then we're not really that able anymore. But, of course, Gene still is young. I want to read you something. And then I want you to tell me who said this. Okay, I'm going to read it slow. Hear the word of God as a child of God. Believe in him. Listen to God's word so as often as you can, so your seed of faith can receive the living water and grow strong in him. Don't worry about understanding right away. Just let the word keep flowing in. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. Receive him with reverence. The word is full of grace and truth. Repent of your sins so that you can be clean and forgiven. Rest in him. Let the Holy Spirit of all truth, which is the word of God, minister to your spirit. The word of truth, which is the word of God. Minister to your spirit and transform your mind into the mind of Christ. Yield to him. Revelation will come when you are ready for it. Are you listening carefully? You got to listen to every sentence here. Revelation will come when you are ready for it. Revelation will come when you are ready for it. But how do you know you're ready?
You don't.
You don't. There's only one that knows you're ready. And that's the giver of revelation, which is God. Seek him. Jesus loves you and prays for you to be one with him and the Father. Love him with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love one another as he has loved you. Obey him. This relationship with a pure, living word of God will change your life forever. I was brought to the Christian community by the Holy Spirit and incorporated into it through the fact that I have heard and still hear God's word, which is the first step in entering it. Hearing it is the first step of entering. He daily brings us into this community through his word and imparts and increases and strengthens faith through the same word and the forgiveness of sins. Who said that?
Either the Apostle Paul or Keith Gunn.
Well, neither one.
Billy Graham?
No, but Gene should know. You should know.
Martin Luther.
Martin Luther.
Oh, yes. I should have known that.
Yeah.
Right.
Martin Luther's the one that said that. Does that sound familiar? That's what got him in trouble. He said the Bible, it's not that he finished his days, you know, as the great champion of all truth and stuff, but anyway, he said that the Bible should be in the hands of the common man. That was the thing that got him in trouble, because the priest said the common man can't understand it. Like the Jewish leaders said about the followers of Jesus. He said, these people are cursed because they don't know the law. And they were saying, we know the law, so we're okay. They don't know the law. And Jesus was, what he was doing through the scriptures. And like this one scripture that I quote often, which is John 8:31, you know, if you continue in his word, he said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples. And anyway, which made me jump or thought, think of a thought that came this morning. Joanne and I were talking about it. In John 18:37, Jesus stood before Pilate. And anyway, Pilate asked him, he said, are you a king? And Jesus said, you say that I'm a king. Well, the way it's worded in the King James, he is saying, Jesus is agreeing with him. What you're saying is right, I'm a king. And he said, are you a king? And then Jesus makes this profound statement, which had nothing to do with, supposedly, with the whole thought. And he says, to this end was I born, for this cause I came. To be a king? That's what he said. To bear witness to the truth. And then this is the sentence that jumped out at me this morning, and Joanne and I talked about it. And he said, and everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. And I said, okay, so let's think about that verse. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. So that if you're not of the truth, then you don't really care what voice you listen to. Are you understanding me? Then it doesn't matter whose voice you hear. And it's like Rod Pickler in that letter he wrote. And we're going to go see him. But anyway, he said, I have come to the conclusion that what I need to do is stop listening to everything except the Word of God. Don't listen to anything else. And the reason is, we're not as smart as we think we are. You know, we really aren't. And I'm not as smart as I think I am. And I don't even think I'm that smart. But I'm, you know what I mean? I'm not even that smart. That's what I'm trying to say. And so what we do is we think, well, we can hear all of the voices. We can hear all of the words. We can sort them out. I'm not equipped to do that. And that's why faith, what it does, it causes us to just hear the Word of God. And after a while, faith will come by the Word. But if we mix God's Word in with all kinds of other words, after a while, we don't know one from the other. We're not as smart as we think. So anyway, with that, I'll sit down. But I just thought I'd pull this on you. That was Martin Luther.
I don't have a lot of time this morning, so I'm jumping up here, which I hardly have ever done before. See, Ken, you need to get yourself, you remember an in track, you know, those set of blocks? Yeah. Told Keith this morning, I think I've just been to my last service at Crossroad Church. I think they're going to ask me to leave. Well, maybe they won't, but they started this morning a series in Sunday school on the Holy Spirit. I think that was as a result of a letter I wrote to the pastor and one of the elders on the incongruencies of the Trinity. And I told them I wouldn't go any further than that with it. I just told them I think it's reasonable to consider an alternative position on the Godhead, not because I feel and not because I think, but because of what the Scripture says. And he read it. he said it was excellent. He looked at it, and he said, wow, you know, that's really, it's amazing, you know, that you can bring that position that Jesus was a man and that you can support it with scriptures, because I don't even teach on the Trinity because I can't teach on the Trinity. It's just what I believe. And I asked him, I said, well, why would you believe in something that you can't teach on? Well, elder number two just told me it's unscriptural. Yeah. Because he believes in the Trinity, so therefore it's unscriptural. 11 pages? Just dismiss it. But anyway, I got three scriptures I want to read. These are the three I wanted to read at Crossroads. But I have to exercise some wisdom, because you just can't constantly offend people. Mark 12:24. After the Pharisees, who are fair, you see, and the Sadducees, they're sad, you see. We're trying to trap Jesus. And the question about the multiple wives. And Jesus answers, do you not therefore err because you know not the scriptures nor the power of God? I think it is possible that if Jesus came back today in the flesh, and met with the evangelical church body, I think it's possible one of the things he might say is that exact verse. I mean, he would say, you know, I love you, I'm your Savior, I'm here to help you bring about the kingdom of God, but church, you do err because you do not know the scriptures and you do not know the power of God. Would that be out of line for something that Jesus would say to the current church world? Most of them hardly don't know the scriptures. And where's the power of God? Baptist Church, talking about the Holy Spirit. I almost got up and left. I just hung in there. Because the format, when they're teaching, is kind of like ours, except everybody has the freedom to make a comment or read a scripture. More often than not, they don't read a scripture. And this morning was one of those Bible studies. And there was at least 12 people that said, well, I think, well, I believe that when you're born again, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And then another person gets up and says, well, I just feel. And after that hit double digits, I respectfully raised my hand and I said, with all due respect, I really could care less what everybody feels and what everybody thinks and what your opinions are. This is a Bible study. Would it be valid for me to request that if you have a point to read a scripture, to back it up? The gentleman behind me read a scripture. There were those in the church of Acts, after having received Jesus as their Savior, said, we have not so much as heard as that there is a Holy Ghost. Which precluded the gentleman to my right saying, well, I just feel that when you're born again, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And I said, sir, what this gentleman said contradicted your opinion. Now, church, are we going to take opinion or are we going to take Word of God? Because in this format with 13 people saying 13 opinions, we haven't had a Bible study on the Holy Spirit. We've had a meeting of 13 opinions, and everybody that came in walks out more confused than they were when they came in. Now, if we call ourselves a church, let's study the Word of God. If we're not going to study the Word of God, let's call ourselves something else. They didn't like it. And this is the other scripture I wanted to read. And now I'm going to sit down. 1 Timothy 2:15 and 16. We've heard it hundreds of times. Probably most of you can quote it. It's often in a graduation flyer when I graduate from high school. But listen to how appropriate this is. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Well, if Jesus would come back, wouldn't you like to be approved unto him instead of ignorant unto him? You know, a lot of born-again people are going to be in heaven, but they're probably going to be embarrassed. And at that time, those of the 137,000 different Christian denominations that are out there, 136,999 are going to be proven that their doctrine was wrong. And at that day, those are going to be approved. I want to be in that camp. Because there's not going to be any discussion at that point in time. Jesus doesn't take the ecumenical position that I don't care that you have 137,000 different doctrines. It makes no difference. And if that's your opinion and that's how you feel that strongly, it's okay. That is not what he says in this book. It is not okay. And you better get what is okay, because if you're not going to get what is okay, you are in violation to this holy word of God. Now, that's not my words, and I know that's offensive and divisive, and the people down the road don't like it, but you know what? You're not liking me. You're not liking the Word of God, because the Word of God is offensive. To the point where the Lutherans drowned the Baptists, because it was offensive. You want to be immersed? Here, we'll keep you under for 10 minutes. No, you're baptized. Study to show yourself thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then right after it, and I've never realized this till I read it this morning, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And this morning I was sitting in an adult Bible study. There were 13 profane and vain babblings. Because they were all unscriptural. They were all opinions. They were all strong feelings. You know what the Apostle Paul would have said if he'd have been there? He'd have said the same thing to those people, men and women, just like he said to the women in the church who were uneducated in those days and they were asking their husband, what is he talking about? He told them to be silent. This morning he would have told those 13 people to be silent. He said, first of all, you don't even have a point scripturally. Second of all, it's vain, it's profane, and it's babble. We don't have time for that. We're here to study the scriptures. So if you got a point, have scripture. And if you don't have scripture, keep your mouth shut. And learn so that you know a few. And after you've learned a few things, maybe then you can open your mouth. But don't waste the church's time with your feelings and opinions in the way you feel. And this is why the church does err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Because they don't study and read and listen to the word of God. They get together with their, whatever you want to call it, and they talk about what they think and feel. And that's why 40 years later, they still don't know nothing, hardly. And I apologize if anybody hears this here or on recorded that that's offensive, but I think it's a tragedy. But it comes from the leadership in the evangelical church. They don't insist on the scripture being taught accurately every jot and tittle. Because they know it's going to offend people. But I think there's a scripture in the gospel, somebody help me out, Jesus said something like, there must need be offenses that cometh, but woe unto him whom the offense comes. Somebody can read that for me or straighten that out for me or whatever. We need to be offended. So we get rid of this carnality so that by being offended by the word of God, it'll provoke us unto more godliness.
In the same book, in the first Timothy, the second Timothy, the third chapter, Paul starts out and he says, in the last days, perilous times are going to come. What days are we talking about? Know this, that in the last days, perilous times are going to come. For men will be lovers of themselves and so forth, down to verse 5. And it says, having a form of godliness and denying the power, which still fits us. But then we think, and I used to think, well, that was a conclusion of the matter, those five verses, but it's not. Because then we go down to verse 7. And it makes a statement about it, and it says, they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why not, John?
They don't study the scripture.
It's all opinions. It's all opinions. One of the things when I moved, we moved out to Seattle for a number of years. What I wanted to do was to go to Pacific Lutheran University and become a Lutheran minister. That's funny now, but I mean, that was my objective. And it was close to us, and we lived in Des Moines, which is just a hop, skip, and a jump. And so I was infatuated with Lutheran ministers, and because of our work in the churches and so forth, I was able to sit in on some high echelon meetings. And I was in one of them, and I'll never forget it, and there was a lot of ministers in robes, and there was a couple of us that were just kind of lay people that were there, you know. And I was just in heaven. And they were all talking, and I never realized it until just, I mean, it's only been a few years since I realized what was going on. And they were asking each other, it was no different than what you're talking about. They were asking opinions. Oh, what do you think, Pastor so-and-so? I mean, you've been in the ministry for 30 years, what do you think? Well, you know, after these years, I think this. And another one said, well, I think this. And you know what? When I got all done, I thought, I have just heard from God. But the thing is, it's just like what John's talking about. What has happened is that we have this situation that has developed where people are ever learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth because we're not hearing the truth. Been there, done that. Taught things that were not the truth. And, but one day I got old. And when you get old and you realize you don't have that much of a, you know, I was talking to Pablo. We went ice fishing yesterday. He'll be coming here pretty quick, I think. And, I was telling him, you know, I have a dilemma. And, my dilemma is that I have seen too much. And I have possibly seen at least a dozen profound miracles. And so if I were to take a easy way out of this thing and ignore the things that I have seen and face God on the day of judgment, I got problems. It would cause me to take a stand, wouldn't it? And I am so glad that by the mercy of God that He allowed us, and that He allowed it, to come into a new relationship with the Word of God. Martin Luther, everything that he said here, I read that thing carefully a number of times. I had it in my Bible for years. I forgot I had it. At one time, he saw that. You know what I'm saying? That's not, I've been part of the Lutheran Church. That's what we were a part of. And that's not who we were. We were ever learning. But there's no way we could come to a knowledge of the truth. Anyway.
God is in control. God is in control. You know what? That's really starting to settle in me. I brought something on that last week, and I came Sunday night to listen to Keith, and I'm going to be vague here a little bit because whatever. But so there was a little discussion afterwards among us that were left. And in the past, I'm just speaking for me, but I have in the past, a few weeks ago maybe or a month ago, I would have got kind of, what would it be, really concerned and really kind of on edge. And then I started hearing my own words from earlier in the morning, God is in control. And what brought that about is, here's a train of thought to think on. When Martin Luther wrote that, said that, or whatever, who said it? Who really said it? That's right. When a prophet spoke, who spoke? When an angel shows up, who's showing up? When an anointed man preaches, who's preaching? Key word, anointed. When Jesus said what he said, who said it? The Father. Because he says, I speak everything. When Jesus did a miracle, who really did it? When a government topples, why do you think it topples? When a government's raised up, why do you think it's raised up? When a man becomes a president, who's in control? You know, after I started looking at all the prophets, God controls. Now, we think that can't be right, though, because then we're all puppets. No. God controls. And he also says, I'm going to have a remnant that hears me. Now, you can go and do all this other stuff and think you're in complete control, but there's going to come a day when you're going to be fooled because you're going to find out you've been very foolish. And, you know, I had a thought. I thought it's really interesting because I heard something about, my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law is going to, he got her as kind of a gift or whatever, a trip to Israel with a group from their church. And there's a lot of that going on. A lot of that. People are really, I don't know what you would say, maybe it's the wrong word, but infatuated with Israel. And I thought, isn't it kind of ironic that people want to know so much about and be over there and see all the places, yet they totally deny the one very staple thing in their religion. There is one God. So, you know, it's like you want to go over there and you want to glean something or whatever, but you don't, you want to do all the things they do maybe, you want to have the feast and everything, but you don't want to hear the one principle they've stood on for since the beginning. One God. So then all of a sudden when Jesus comes, does God say, well, I've been fooling you? See, and now some people will come and say, well, but that's the mystery of God, see? Well, I don't think so. And so I was listening to Matthew because I got a new tape. I went and I was looking for another set, you know, in case mine starts to go bad. So I went to the Christian store, and they don't have a whole lot there. But they had the one that's, it's amazing. It's a whole, I mean, and I know these are out, but it is amazing to me that there's a whole DVD with the whole Bible on it. And one little disc, you know. So anyway, I bought it because it was on sale, and it had another teaching thing, which I know I'm never going to put in because it's not the Word of God. I mean, being said. And, you know, so I started dwelling on this, and I thought, you know, when you really start to receive, for me anyway, that God is really in control, you start developing a fear, a godly fear. Because you can't just look at when he blesses and has mercy and has grace. You also see the outcome when you continue to refuse him. You know? And he says, you have a choice. I keep sending people to you. I keep sending ones that I speak through to let you know. You know, it's that parable about, you know, the king that goes off and he leaves a vineyard in control with some people. And he says, well, I kind of want to know how my vineyards are doing. So he sends somebody there to say, hey, the king wants to know. And they kill the guy because they've gotten used to running this vineyard and they like the position they're in of controlling this and making money off of it. So he keeps sending one, you know, and then finally he says, I'm going to send my son. Surely they will honor him. And they murdered him. You know, and that's kind of what, I mean, isn't that what happened with Jesus? That's the parable. You know? So, you know, and you know what I'm coming, you know what I really feel? I mean, I'm really beginning to kind of settle with this. If God wants to use me and he wants to speak through me, he will. Or if God wants to use you and he wants to speak, he'll bring that about. Unless you just absolutely refuse. But if your heart is for God, I believe he'll get it done. So, to be... bring it right home a little bit. God put somebody to bring something in this church. And you know, I said last week, I said, you know, God is going to have prophets. Well, I need to correct. God has a prophet already. See, because what Keith's bringing is as a prophet. If you think about it, when God wants to start bringing about a change, he sends someone. Or he gives someone a message. So he's begun that. And you know, if God wants to keep Keith in that position, he's in control, he will. When when that's supposed to change, if God's in control, it will change. If he's not, it won't be of God, and we hope it doesn't do that. You know what I mean? I mean, it's all up to him. If God never wants to use me to speak, that's up to him. You know? If God wants to reach that church down the road, he will reach it. He won't reach them all. He never has reached all of the world because all the world did not want to be reached. You know? I mean, that's the harshness a little bit of the gospel. It's available to every single person in this universe. But it doesn't say that every single person will accept it. Or in fact, it says every single person won't accept it. And that's sad, but that's who we are. I mean, God gave us that ability. That's the thing that, you know, and even, obviously, even that makes us akin to angels. Because obviously the angels had a choice, or some wouldn't have stayed and some wouldn't have fallen. Some went with Lucifer. Lucifer had a choice. And, you know, and when God embellished him with all that he was, pride came into the picture. You know? So kind of what happened is I was listening to Matthew and I seen the instance where it talks about, you know, it says he's going to send a prophet. He's talking to Israel. He's going to send a prophet. And sometimes I hate this sometimes, that you got to be so plain. He didn't say he was going to send a god. He said he's going to send a prophet like unto Moses. And then, so then I looked in Acts, because I wanted to know there was a certain scripture or something. So I just started looking through. And you know, so now, I looked at this and I thought, this is so plain that this is the gospel. Because the minute Jesus was gone, he told Peter to speak, did he not? Who spoke? The Spirit of God spoke through Peter, and he spoke the message that's in Acts. I don't care if it's been 2,000 years, and I love the saying, can umpteen million Frenchmen be wrong? And it's absolutely yes. Because all of, but a remnant of Israel were wrong when Christ came, weren't they? They denied him. They said, no. You're a man that came, but you're not the kind we wanted, because we want one that's going to establish a king and get us out of under the rule of the Romans and set us free. And you know, it was interesting. I got kind of stumbled because when I was listening in Matthew, who was it that when Mary had come to visit Elizabeth, and there was that interchange there, and then the one older fella that said he'd just been saved for this time, that he would hear that this Messiah had come. Yeah. Well, he says, and God has sent us, I can't remember if he says king or prophet or whatever, that is going to set us free from our enemies. And I thought, yeah, but when Jesus came, he didn't set Israel free from their enemies. Who is he talking about? Well, why would he say that? Guess who your enemy is. Isn't that? And you know what? I've been reading in here where God says, if you turn yourself over to me, I will take your iniquity away. Not you will give it up necessarily. Not that you will even confess it, maybe. But when the time is right, I'm going to lift it. I'm going to take it. I'm going to purge it. Which would mean you don't get any credit. Yay! You know? So he did set us free, didn't he? He actually set us free, if we would accept it, from this world. You know? I will make you free. Free from what? Free from the devil, for one, and free from this world. And you know, so anyway, Peter stands up, raises his voice, and said to them, and said, men of Judea and all that, and it shall come to, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Okay. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and maid, on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, the very next sentence that Peter speaks, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, signs, which God did through him. Isn't that pretty plain now? Now, it wasn't always that plain to me either. God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Then it goes on. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. That this Jesus God has raised up. That God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now it says, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? These people were hearing it. They were being convicted. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children. Let's see. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers. Now, isn't that saying who this is? Glorified, and this is amazing, his servant, Jesus, whom God has raised from the dead, comes through him. Faith comes through him, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. I can read about 15 more that explains the relationship of Jesus Christ and the Father. And this is in Acts. This is the gospel that's being presented. And thousands were being saved through it at that time. So we wonder if that's not the gospel being preached since then. And it was for a time, for quite a while. But all of a sudden, you know, there's one verse here where it says, God having raised up his servant Jesus, It says that God, it says, and you receive him, and I may not find it now, but that you receive him as the Christ. It doesn't say you receive him as God, it says as Christ. So all of a sudden when there's a doctrine that comes about and starts changing that gospel, then it's been diluted ever since, hasn't it? And if it hasn't been diluted, then why isn't all the church winning the world? Well, not that you'll win the whole world, but I mean, and you know what? We're not doing it here either. There's no miracles going on necessarily. I mean, big, bold miracles, you know. And we're not casting out any spirits at this time. People aren't being filled with the Holy Ghost. But you know what? I am not one bit concerned. I mean, at this moment. Because right now I'm full of faith, I feel. At this moment. Because God is in control.
Yes.
God is in control.
Yes, yes.
And you know what? If he's not, it doesn't matter if there's 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 people in a church. If they don't know that, they're no better than whatever, right? I mean, that's the whole, that's the thing. And you know what? Even if you study and study and study, that's not a guarantee. You know what it's like? It's like if you could see everybody and just, it's a big smear. Just blah, all over a window seat. You know what's got to happen? Somehow you have to make a decision that you take some window cleaner and completely wash that window clear and start over. And then let God write on that window of your heart who you are and what he is and what truth is and how he wants to give it to you. Because if you don't do that, studying means nothing. You have to humble yourself before the Lord. And that and only a person knows when that happens. You know? I went along, and I was playing with when Keith was bringing this originally and struggling with it. And then I finally sat there, and I'm sure, because you can't take credit for hardly anything, I'm sure the Spirit somehow spoke into my little brain and said, well, now, if this is the Word of God, and you listen to it with the correct heart, how can it be wrong? How could you go wrong? And then finally, I realized that I couldn't say, okay, Lord, I'm going to listen, but I know I got some of this stuff. And I'm telling you, that's where a whole bunch of people are. If they've heard this message of hearing the word, they went, yeah, but I got some stuff I already know. You can't be there. You got to wipe it clean. And that's hard. It's hard to admit, but you know what? It wasn't hard to admit in a sense because he does give you this, I feel. I said, Lord, I want to start over. Now, I know that I think I've had some truths, but I'm just going to start over and you affirm them if they were. Tell me the what is truth that wasn't. How can you go wrong? But first you got to humble yourself. You got to swallow the pride. Doesn't matter if you've been walking, trying to walk with them, whatever, for 30 years, 40 years, 20 years, 10 years. In fact, the person that's been walking with them for a week does this. We're all the same. We're all equal at that point. And then if you just let them, oh. And you know what? Everybody isn't going to see it your way. But you got to keep remembering God is in control. He'll handle whatever needs to be handled when it needs to be handled. And you know what? You can't go by what you see. I even ask myself, what if somehow somebody came in here and overthrew us? Somehow, whatever, how that would happen. Maybe by sheer numbers. I don't know. Well, you know what? If this message is true, he'll just reestablish it. If this message that he's bringing, that he will teach by his Spirit, is true, if it don't happen here, it'll happen next door, down the road, wherever. It could still be by us. I'm just not so worried anymore. I used to get worked up by certain factions, because I thought they were trying to control. Well, they probably are, and they may be, but my God is awesome.
Wonderful. It's a hard act to follow.
Yeah, that's right. I won't be as long, I'll tell you that. One thing that Keith brought that in the Martin Luther quote that he had. I'd like a copy of that, by the way. That's good. Bring it and read it and want to go into jail. I'd like a copy. Anyway, I was struck that when he was talking about when you are ready for revelation, you know, ordinarily I think, well, that's when God's ready to give revelation. Well, I don't know about that. Maybe it's when I'm ready for revelation. You know, I always, well, wait on the Lord, you know. Then when it's his time, then, well, maybe not. Maybe there's a little bit of when I'm ready for it, you know, which puts a little bit of responsibility on me. I also want to respond to John. John's gone, so it's, you know. But I do want to respond to him. And that is that, boy, an awful lot of what comes out of my mouth is my opinion. You know, just a whole bunch of it in that context. Not that I argue with, you know, that's, you know. But the thing about having the Bible running all the time is what comes out of my mouth is still opinion. I'm just a little more aware of it and uneasy about it. You know, I don't feel quite, maybe a little more alert to the fact that, I think that's your opinion. That's what's cooking in your head, not, you know, not necessarily God's thought on it. And, you know, I've read things, a man, and they stick a whole bunch of scriptural references in there, just jam a bunch of scriptural references in there, and it makes real nice window dressing, you know? It makes it say, oh, wow, this is scriptural. Yeah, no, see all the scriptural, you know? Well, you can pull out all, you can just indiscriminately go through the Bible, stick in a scriptural reference, and it has absolutely nothing to do, just the slightest connection, you know, and then make it, oh, no, this is scriptural, that's not man's opinion. Well, phooey, you know, that's just not, you know, that's just not the way of it. And heaven forbid that we should pull that trick. Heaven forbid. You know, the Word of God deserves more respect than to do something like that, you know, it, just some kind of way to impress people that our opinion has some connection with the Word. Tend so. Anyway, my point is, you know, John was talking about them. Well, let's have it be us. You know what I mean? Not just them, us. Us. There'll be a day, I have confidence. There'll be a day when the word that comes out of our mouth is, in fact, the word of truth. It's, you know, it is God's word in some kind of way, you know. But that day hadn't come for me, that's for sure. A lot of what comes out of my mouth is just plain my own thinking.
Now, did you notice how good I walked up here, Charlie? No, I want to tell you, I was dancing with Olivia. And I was, remember I couldn't walk this morning, Joanne, when I was over here? And I had this thing all stuck in here, and I couldn't move my leg. And she just, I didn't have the heart to tell her no, so I just started dancing with her. And that kind of thing happens in the spirit, you know. And then you can go home and not be so good later, I know that. I'd like to keep that. I'd like to keep that. But that just was, I just got distracted when I realized how good I walked up there. I want to say that I also was struck by the Martin Luther King thing about when you're ready to receive the revelation. That just really, yeah, you know, and if we don't, we're not ready, then we're not going to get it, no matter what, you know. So John's kind of having a time down there, and they just ain't ready. But anyway, so, well, that's, he feels somehow connected to those people, and he feels to, you know, whatever with them. But I'm not ready to receive a lot of things that have been brought even from this pulpit, apparently, because I still have lots of questions about lots of things. And then I'll read the scripture, and then I'll go, oh, yeah, but it says that. I mean, I know all the ones that you were just reading, but I also know that he's the Son of God. And he says it over and over again. The reason why, you know, the Pharisees wanted to stone him and everything is because he was making himself as if he were God, you know, or equal to God. Now, you know, and then whatever understanding comes out of that, the fullness of God's Spirit and all those things, you know. I don't know. It's just that I sometimes still question things is what I'm saying. And I realize that when you're to be ready, it needs to be a work of the Spirit. And so to just continue to seek God is the main thing to do, continue to seek God. I also, as funny as I found John, and I don't know, he's lucky they haven't tarred and feathered him out of there. But anyways, I think he's right, though, you know. You ought to have the Bible backing up, and Charlie's right. That ought to be. And, you know, I was going to get up here and give a testimony about authority, and I thought, oh, I better find my scripture. I better not get up there without it. And then I couldn't even find it. So it's like, okay, well, whatever. I'll wait till I do have the scripture. But I brought my Bible up here, and for the love of me, I don't even know why I brought it up here. I don't even know what's in here that I was going to read. But I do want to say that, you know, the only way we're ever going to not get man's opinion some with whatever we're doing is if nobody said anything except for just read this Bible. You know, I mean, really. I mean, unless we trust us. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Unless the only thing I've done is just read. I don't think that's a bad idea, personally. But, I mean, if God's showing you something and then, you know, you want to, you share it. But anyway, I know what I'm going to read. It's Ephesians chapter 4. And Paul says, he beseeches us that we walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, that with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds good. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are all called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So we all have the measure of grace, and I'm very thankful for that. And I'm just hopeful and know just to keep seeking him by the Spirit. An idea came to me this past week that, and maybe this is not new to any of you at all, but it seemed new to me, but then it went, well, of course. So I thought, well, maybe it wasn't new and I just had forgotten. But the Matthew 7 Christians, when he says, depart from you, I never knew you, that the no is the same word that's no, like Abraham went in and knew Sarah, or It's an intimate knowing. We got to know him, and then he will know us. And if he knows us, then he's not going to say, depart from me. It's all, you know, I got to bring in my hobby horse again. We need to have this relationship, this spiritual relationship, a one-on-one relationship with the Lord by the truth of the word,
yes,
anointed by the Spirit of God.
I just wish John could take a position and articulate it. You know, I just wish he could take a stand. I enjoy his public travail because he's literally, he's sharing his heart saying, this is where I am, this is the group of people, this is where God has got me at, and it's not okay. And so he's trying to, you know, now one thing he said that kind of, you know, my flag went up, and he said he made the prideful assumption that one of the denominations at the end of time is going to be perfectly right. That I'm going, says who? Says who? You are assuming that you are going to get all total knowledge prior to the coming. I'm not going to make that statement. No, he said someone. And in fairness, you know, the brother mentioned the remnant. So I'm going, okay, all right. Maybe it's possible. Maybe there's a plan there, but I'm like, I don't want to make the assumption. And then we've had a discussion about scriptures, or opinions. You know, and I rarely get up and read scriptures because we're all reading it. But you know what's interesting is, if you share your heart on a scripture, it is simply a revelation of the revelation God has given you on the Word of God, on that Word of God at that point in time. It's your opinion. Body ministry is discussing where you're at. We're not all at the same spot, which is not hard to believe because we're not all at the same spot. You know, God's giving us different revelation at a given time. But, and I so appreciated Ken today, God is in control.
Yes.
And literally, once you take you out of the equation and put God in control, then you're okay.
Yeah.
But within 30 minutes, we came back and said, well, Martin Luther made that comment about when you're ready to really receive revelation, I'm going, oops, we just brought us back into the equation. Is God in control, or are we ready for the revelation? Or is it really one and the same thing, just being expressed differently? Because I've gotten up here more than once and reminded all of us that we don't get in the Spirit. God comes to us. We can have an open heart. Our heart can be sitting, we can be pining away with a wide open heart and bupkis. Now, is that because we're not ready? Or he's not ready? Or he's not ready because we're not ready? Don't you lose sleep over that. God is in control. And I praise God for that, and I appreciate that. You know, we keep coming back to, and we're getting deeper, that it's every word. And so we've now, the fun words, the easy words, the uplifting words, yeah, we get those, and all the churches have that. The hard words, fear of God. I mean, spend a little time in the Old Testament, and he just took you out. You know, there was a comment made about, you know, being offensive. You know, Jesus, there was no compromise. I mean, if it was what God wanted him to say and it was offensive, He said it. He, no respectful, not trying to help anybody's opinion or feelings along there. He just, truth was going to come forward, not save anybody's feelings. And one other thing I wanted to share before I ramble too much. You know, we have, as we've given over to God what he will do, the one thing that we have been freed of is we're not trying to go back to a church doctrine and now defend it. And I think the problem, my opinion again, I think the problem is once you try and create a doctrine that is beyond the dot and tittle of the word, now you have to defend that. Because the worst thing that can happen to a Christian is have to admit you're wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, right? Yeah. Heaven forbid. I believe this, our church is based on this, but that's not right. If you take that away and say, it's an unfolding revelation, and this is where we are, and we are more than willing for God to correct that through future revelation or anointing, so be it. It's his plan. It's his will. And unfortunately, it's his timetable. And you all are probably much better at this. I spend so much time trying to say, it is not up to me to fill in this gap. And we see things that we don't understand yet because God hasn't given us the anointing. And the question is, how long are we willing to stay there? Because if he chooses this to be a really long time, you never know that answer. The mistake is making it up and then sharing that with your friends and trying to make a revelation or turn it into a movement or whatever you want to call it. You know, so I get really, I don't try and talk much that isn't very black and white. And as it was really brought out well, knowing black and white really isn't very good anyways. It's the living word. So, you know, I mean, we spent a lot of times studying the scriptures. And that is good. I mean, if you do that in the right heart, that is good. But still, the letter of the word is not where we need to be free. To be free, we need the Spirit. And as far as I'm concerned, that's on him. And I use those words. I don't mean that. I have an accountability. I have to be open. I have to make choices. I have to seek. And I have to be willing for God to do this. All of that I can do. And I still might not get an answer. And I have to be very, very happy with that because that's exactly what his plan is. So I'll let you in on a little secret. I am happy with that. Because I figure that if I don't get that, he's working in each and every one of you. And you may get that. And you may share that. And I might get the revelation from God through what God's doing in your life. That requires us to share opinions now and then. Because what God has given me, if he hasn't given to you, which you can't see in the scripture, can appear to be not scriptural. Because you're still not letting God be in control. Now, I'm comfortable with, obviously, because I do this so often, getting up here and exposing what I think I know, and where I think I'm at. And then the brothers have been very quick to go, I think what Corky was trying to say was, and you know, that's a blessing.
Yes, it is.
Because we have to be willing to let God get us where we need to get to, and very comfortable that it's not coming through one.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Because he just, well, saved his son. But it just, I don't think it works that way now. Because I think he's working on all of us individually. God is in control. The question is, am I going to be okay with that to stay out of the way?
Listening there, it helped clarify some things that that I was probably saying. See, it's good that, like, Gene has questions. And, you know, one time someone may read the Scripture, and when the Spirit of God wants you to hear it, you'll hear it. The next time you may be hearing the Scripture, and He will reveal it. Now, as far as that revelation, I got something to ask Charlie. How prepared did you get when you were saved? I mean, if He's going to give us revelation, He prepares us for it, I think. I don't think I can prepare for it. I mean, you know, what I was going to do is maybe see how it exactly said that. Well, no, see, yeah, but here's the point. This is what makes it hard. If the Spirit of the Lord spoke through Him, it's not opinion. If the Spirit of the Lord speaks through you, it's not opinion. The next time if you speak, and it's not the Spirit of the Lord, it's opinion. I mean, that's what this is all about. Discernment of the Spirit. When? It says, when they bring you before magistrates and so forth, don't worry about what you're going to say. Why? Because your Father will tell you what to say. So it won't be your opinion when that happens. See, that's part of the whole thing. I don't know where it is where it says that. Up here somewhere. I'm trying to find Revelation. They're right here, but this is pretty big print. I'm trying to hold some dignity here. Living, understanding, word flowing, receiving, repent, rest. Oh. So, yeah, I don't know if this is at the end. It's in there. Let me read. It says, let the Holy Spirit of all truth. Boy, that is just right there, isn't it? Let the Holy Spirit of all truth, which is the Word of God, minister to your spirit and transform your mind into the mind of Christ. Yield to Him. Revelation will come when you are ready for it. Seek Him. So there's a little bit of, you know, if your heart's right, you're seeking Him, wanting to yield to Him, you're ripe for revelation, let's say. Which is kind of the same thing when you received salvation, you were ripe. You were at a place and all of a sudden God's Spirit convicted or did something to make you all of a sudden at that moment want to deal with whatever, you know. So, yeah. So I think it's all good.
Yeah. You know, revelation by its very definition is God revealing.
Right. Yeah. I was going to share something very similar to what you just said, Ken. Are we ready for revelation or for God's work or whatever? But everything that God tells us at some point, there's also always, a lot of times, a B-side or exceptions. You know, it's not always just like this. Peter is fishing and Jesus came. He says, follow me. And he dropped his stuff right there. He wasn't ready. His boat was not put away. His net folded up, winterized. You know, Mary, she wasn't ready to be conceived with the Holy Spirit. She dealt with it. It wasn't a problem. She just dealt, and she wasn't even ready to give birth. I mean, there was not even room anywhere. You know what I mean? So it could be a a little tricky if we are saying, well, I'm not ready for revelation. A little bit. Sometimes. I don't want to put down anything that has been said. I'm not saying no. But also, I think sometimes God can give us a revelation, and then we have, then it will be years before we can act on it. You know, I just wanted to bring a little B side of the story, kind of.